be okay. If you've never played football, you don't know what I'm saying, but there's quite a nervousness until the first licks, and then you're ready. I do appreciate the invitation. I appreciate the blessings the Lord has bestowed upon me at Home Baptist Church. I've learned many things here. I hope I've developed many friends here. God has called me to pastor and confirmed it here. You may not have known that. Today, I'm going to give you a third helping. Turn to Mark chapter number 9, verse 23 and 24. I appreciate the ladies back there in the kitchen who are making ready the evening meal. You don't get much recognition, but I realize it, and I want to pass you a rose, a verbal rose, also for you youngsters that help decorate the tables. I appreciate you. There's your verbal rose. And you ladies who so diligently make your husbands look nice, I appreciate it. I can't say a word without these. In Mark chapter 9, verse 23, Jesus said unto him, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." Now, if I'm wrong, you brute your brethren, straighten me out later, please. But when I see ETH on a word, it means something has begun and it continues. Is that it? Okay. And the fellow said, straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord." That's somebody that's over you. That's somebody that's a master to you. That's somebody that's a governor for you. "I believe. Help thou mine unbelief." You help me to believe. My prayer this afternoon, and I know this is the S&S service, stuffed and sleepy. I understand that. I've been right where you're sitting. And I know how they sort of play, you sort of play blink the eyes. But I hope that God will speak to me and then through me. And that you will not just hear a 60-year-old, and yes, I am 60, and thank you, yeah, good. Thank you for you that's asked about my health. The Lord has helped me through medicine, and my rheumatoid arthritis is under control. But speak to me first, Lord. Then let the people, let your people, even let the lost sheep hear that God, the Lord, is speaking to them. And come to them with power and authority, Lord, for I have nothing to offer. Now, in Matthew, the third chapter, to believe, you first must see this. In Matthew, the third chapter, verse, well, if I get there, I'll find it. Verse 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, "I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me?" And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Suffer, allow, permit it so to be now, or it to be so now, for thus becometh us to fulfill all righteousness." And he allowed, suffered, permitted him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went straight up out of the water. And lo, the heavens were open unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Here is a manifestation within these two verses of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Trinity manifested. God the Father speaking. God the Son coming up out of the water. And the Spirit descending upon him. Do you believe that? Okay. If you don't, you can turn me off now. Really? If you don't believe there is a Father and a Son and a Holy Spirit, unless God does something for you, we're done. We're done. Okay? Look at verse chapter 4, verse 1. Then was Jesus led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Now, and when he had been there 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. He was hungry. And the tempter came to him and said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." And he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by some of the words that proceed out of the mouth of God." No? Now, y'all forgive me. I do this to the children all the time. I'll omit a word or change a word, see if you're paying attention. But by every word. Every word? Thank you. Every word that cometh out of the mouth of God. Every word? Every word. Okay. In John chapter number 1, I'm hoping to build a foundation here for you to see some truths, if God will help me. John chapter 1, verse number 1. I can talk louder than that. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen? The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was light, and the light was the life, and the life was the light of all men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. In the beginning was the Word. All right? Verse 14. And the Word was made flesh. Believe thou this? Now my message, if you want to put a title on it, guys, is "Do I Believe?" And I'll deal with me. If it applies to you, you work with it. Do I believe that the Word of God, the Word that man has to live by 100% to be in harmony with God, became flesh? Amen. I believe that also. All right. Now, right here, Brother Barry, it says what right there? Can you read it?
Bible.
What kind of Bible?
Holy.
Holy Bible. What else do we call the Holy Bible? Oh, no. This is the Word of God. It's King James, too.
Amen.
This is the Word of God. Oh, me, we're on the right page. All right. Now, if this is the Word of God, do you love it? Oh, Brother Terry, I love the Word of God. You love Jesus? Oh, I love Jesus. I go to church every Sunday. I love Jesus. If that be so, look at John 14. Thank you, Lord. Verse 15. Is this the Word of God? If you love me, keep my commandments. Oh. You mean there's some conditions to this love? Brother Clark said he didn't think Mo would love him very much if she didn't wash his socks. Remember him saying that? Love is conditional with us. Isn't it? Didn't you make some vows to that lady? Those were conditional vows, weren't they? Jesus said, if you truly love me, and I know truly's not there, but it'll fit, keep my commandments. Well, then you have the people today that say, which one? Let's look at 2 Timothy. I got a lot of scripture, and it's better than me talking. Look at what verse number 14 says. Paul writing to a young preacher. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Who taught you, Brother Sean? Honestly, think about it. Who's taught you? If what you know about that, who taught you? Spirit of God. Part of the three that came down, you know? And that from a little child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Some Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Huh? Most Scripture. All Scripture. But that's the way people today want it. It's just some of this book. Well, most of this book is inspired. No. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's for a reason. And is profitable for doctrine. It's profitable for reproof. It's profitable for correction, and it is profitable for instruction into righteousness. How much Scripture? All Scripture. All right. I built a foundation here that this King James Bible is the Word of the Most High God to the English-speaking people. Thank you. I'm not begging amens. I just want to know, do you believe? I didn't say, do you know? Do you believe? There is a bunch of difference. There's a bunch of difference. Do you believe? Now, go to the book of the Exodus 20. So which commandments should we start with? Well, always start with, as they would say, the top ten. That's good, isn't it? They were. That's what everybody knows, the top ten commandments. But there's more than that. But look here. Is it here? Well, Numbers is not Exodus, dear. And God spake, 20, verse 1, and God spake all these words. How many of them? There you go. Amen. I am the Lord thy God, which has brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Amen. Amen. I don't. I love the Lord, and I love his word. But when the children come by Sunday afternoon, I have to take them. When I'm offered some overtime on Sunday, have to take it, we need the money. There came a God. How many gods are you supposed to have before him? No other gods. Before him? None. Zero. Nada. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images or anything or the likeness of anything that is in heaven above, the earth beneath, or the water that is under the earth. Thou shalt not bow thyself down to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord, am thy God, am a jealous God. I'm not talking about the little crosses that some people wear. That's not the graven images. Sometimes your graven images can be around your house. And I'm not talking a picture of so-called Jesus either. Things that you worship more than God Himself. Things that mean more to you. Listen, the Lord said, if you love your father or mother more than me, you're not worthy of me. You believe that? I do too. And it's cost me. And if you're going to serve the Lord, it'll cost you. If you're going to please the Lord, it'll cost you. But it's worth it. It's worth it, children. It's worth it. All right, he says, because if you do this, I will visit the iniquity of the fathers of the children unto the third and fourth generation. Our sins don't just affect us, guys. Our disobedience just don't affect us. It can go to the great-grandchildren and the great-great-grandchildren. The grandchildren and the great-grandchildren. Is that it? Now, I feel like that we're reaping a little bit what we've sown right now in 2000 and whatever this is, 7. I think we're reaping a little bit of this iniquity because we broke God's law back a few years ago. I don't have time to stay here. I will show mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Is that a condition? Thou shalt not take the Lord thy God, the name of the Lord thy God, in vain. Most people think that's asking God to damn something. If that offends you, I'm sorry. That wasn't my purpose. But it's a whole. I've heard people say, "Jesus, you've just took the Lord God's name in vain." Oh, the great I am! Just took the Lord's name. I'm serious. You believe this? Watch this. It'll get you in serious trouble. And you don't even plan to. Watch it. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now, we can get in a whole lot of arguments about this, but Sunday is the day our Lord arose. Sunday is the day that He appeared to His church. Sunday is the day we worship. What part of Sunday? All of it. I like the story he tells on your pastor about being his preaching up here, Brother Clark. Brother Bill went to church, went to a Red Wings game, went to church that evening. Come up to Brother Clark after services. What a wonderful day. Heard two great messages and the Red Wings won. William, don't you know that Sunday's the Lord's day? What part of Sunday? All of it. All of it. 6 days shall thou labor and do all that work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, thy son, nor daughter, thy manservant, maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor the strangers that's within thy gates. You employers, remember that. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth and sea and all that's in them, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother. This is a commandment. It has promise. Honor. Respect. You can go into many words with honor. But young ladies that have just given birth, it's been proven medically that your body gets real close to death as you gave birth to that child. Children ought to honor their mom over that. If dad has been around for 18 years bugging you to keep your hair cut and your clothes clean, you thank God for that. That he loves you. Honor him. That thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not murder. Oh, Brother Terry, I'd never take anybody's life. You ever murdered their character? I'm serious. Have you ever murdered their character? Sure, got quiet in here. Good. I hope the Lord's talking to you. He sure woke me up good with this. You see, I'm guilty. I have spoken evil of somebody. And I ask God to forgive me. And I've asked them to forgive me. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Never do that. Thank the Lord said, if you look upon a woman, or girls, if you look upon a man to lust, you've already committed adultery in your heart. Already done it. Is this the commandments of God or not? Thou shalt not steal. Oh, I could run with that for quite a while, brother. Steal what? Anything. From a piece of candy out of a bowl at a friend's house without asking. To go into somebody's church member and saying, I could sure use you over at my church. I know, I've gone to meddling, hadn't I? Thou shalt not steal. This is not a commandment from a fat preacher. It's a commandment from God. Amen. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. It didn't say thy brother, but it said thy neighbor. Amen. Guilty. It was just a little thing. Not before God, it wouldn't. Guilty. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, maidservant, ox, ass, or anything that's thy neighbor's. Covetousness. The Apostle Paul said he wouldn't have known sin except the law said, thou shalt not covet. Covetous means you're wanting something that God hadn't given you. And it's very easy to covet. Young people, hear me. Please stay awake long enough to hear this one thing. It is the good things in this life that are hard to do, not the bad things. Covetousness will overtake you like that. You know, I tell you how I know? Because I've coveted to stand up here, and I just told Brother Hamill before I got here, I don't know if I knew what I was asking. Because I knew I could preach just as good as some of them guys. I'm being honest. Doesn't the Bible teach us to confess our faults? It's the Word of God. And now I understand that I wasn't ready to preach in this conference. My heart wasn't ready. All right? Do you believe that to be Bible? Then go to the book of John, please, in chapter number 15. Does that mean I've only got 15 minutes left? I ain't built my petition yet. John chapter number 15, verse number 12. This is my commandment, singular, Jesus Christ speaking to his church, Brother Kent, that you love one another as I've loved you. That's heavy. As we used to say back in the 60s, that's heavy. That's a load right there. How much did he love me? He died on the cross of Calvary for me. And who am I supposed to love? The ones that agree with me? One another. All the ones that we're all doctrinally the same? One another. As a matter of fact, he even got so strong as to say, love your enemies. If you have a Catholic neighbor that proclaims Christ and you consider him your enemy, love him. Is that what it says? Now, if a person out of another church is saved by the grace of God, they're in the wrong church, I will admit. But if they're truly saved, are they your brother or not? And what are you supposed to do? Love them. Look, he even says it twice in verse 17. These things I command you, that you love one another. Now, if that's true for our enemies, if that's true for people that's not on the same page with us, how much more true should it be for one another that do believe doctrinally the same? I mean, this is not me talking, folks. This is the Lord speaking. And these are commands. These are commands. Matthew chapter number 7, please. Verse 1 says, judge not that ye be not judged. You know, I've looked this over, and like I said, you brethren correct me later, it won't hurt my feelings. But what does a judge do in a court of law? He's over the court. He presides. He presides over the court. And when the jury comes in, he gives the verdict. Judge pronounces the verdict. Judge pronounces the sentence. You ever pronounced a sentence against a brother? Oops, got quiet again. You pronounced sentence on your brother because of their sin. I didn't say they didn't sin, but you have pronounced a sentence on them. We're supposed to even love our enemies. Now we pronounce sentence on a brother. Guilty? Absolutely. The woman that was thrown at the feet of Christ was absolutely guilty as being an adulteress. And you that are without sin, you cast the first rock. And none of them could, because the Lord's word touched their hearts. Wished it'd do it to ours. Wished it would just break this stony heart of mine and give me the Spirit of Jesus Christ. This is my commandment, that you love one another, not judge one another, not pronounce sentence on one another. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. Is that the word of God or not? We need to remember that. The measure we set for our judgment against our brethren is the same measure that's going to be placed on us. If we're a forgiving people, that's how God's going to judge us. But if we're, well, I just didn't do that. I am a better Christian than that. I would never do, my child would never do that. Come on now. Yeah. Except for the grace of God, there go you and I. No matter what the sin is. No matter what the sin. Within this flesh, Paul said, dwelleth no good thing. You know anything about the Bible that somebody else doesn't know? It's grace. And if you believe it, not just know it, but believe it, and that talks about something that's interceded, that can never die or go away, then that's grace. That's grace. God has showed me so many things, what was wrong with me. And for a long time, I thought it was what was wrong with y'all. Look what he says. Verse 3. And why beholdest the speck, the mote in thy brother's eye, and considerest not the beam, the plank, that is in thy own eye? So often, we see the tiny, minuscule, is that the right word, imperfections in our breath. If you ever want to see your worst enemy, be the worst enemy the rest of your life, the one that's going to stand in your way the rest of your life, go stand in a mirror. Right in front of it and look. Because he's the one that'll give you the most trouble. The rest of your life. And you'll get just full of them little bitty old pronouns. Me, me, my, I. It'll cause you to be an enemy. Not only to yourself and to your church, but to the Lord and his commandments. Paul said it best, not I, but Christ. Not I, but Christ. Forget what I think about what is right and what is wrong. What does God say? Forget what I think's wrong with Brother Hancock. And he's a perfect man, you can tell that. But what I'm saying is, don't look at him. Look at yourself in the mirror. And if it's something wrong with you, you best have it straightened up before you deal with that little thing wrong with him. Well, we don't see it that way. It's been quoted by more than one person that you independent Baptists eat up one another more than anybody in the world. Just eat it up. They didn't measure up to my measuring stick, you know. Do you remember what you were before the Lord saved you? I know what I was. I know what I'd still be except for God's grace. I'm not even going to go into it, Brother Clyde. I'm going to try to just preach the Word of God. It says, or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is now on eye. I mean, you're trying to help him. You got worse problems than he does. Thou what? Verse 5. Thou what? Hypocrite. Hypocrite? That's what it says. Is this God's Word? Is this the Word of God? Do you believe it? Well, if you have that problem, then he says you're a hypocrite. First cast the beam out of thine own eye, then thou shalt see clearly to cast the mote out of thy brother's eye. You better have your measuring stick marked right, folks, if you're going to go about straightening up this church. And there's been pastors and preachers and laymen come in to straighten up some churches. That ain't what it's about. It never has been what it's about. Matthew chapter number 5, look what it says. Verse 23. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and I used this in tithe and offerings, Brother Jerry, when I saw it one time, and rememberest that thy brother has aught against thee, well, just forget it. He was wrong. That ain't what it says in verse number 24. Leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother. But he was wrong. First be reconciled to thy brother. But he won't change. Is God God or not? Did God change you or not? Did God give you spiritual light or not? Did God give you understanding or not? Is this the Word of God or not? Do I believe? Do I believe? Well, my position is right. I'm going to stand on it. So stand alone. Because sooner or later, if you take that kind of attitude into your church, that's where you'll be. If ever everybody's wrong but you, sooner or later you will be alone. First be reconciled to the brother and then come and offer thy gift. In the book of Luke, chapter number 9. Luke chapter number 9, verse number 49. And John answered and said, Master, we saw one casting out demons in thy name, and we forbid him, because he falleth not with us. And Jesus said unto him, Forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us. Amen. Y'all, can y'all figure out that application? No, they don't believe everything that true Baptists believe. But basically what he's telling them right here is to leave them alone. That's what he's saying. You don't have to go over there and be... In Timothy it says we're not to be a striker. We don't have to strike out at every church that doesn't believe everything we do. Preach the word. And that's my next place I'm going, to the book of Timothy, chapter number 2 Timothy chapter 4. Young preachers, I know I've rambled, but I pray that God has spoken to you. 2 Timothy 4. Listen to what Paul said to Timothy. I charge thee. That's what happened when the preacher preached the charge to the new church being located, what they're supposed to do, right? I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the living, quick, and dead at his appearing and at his kingdom, preach the word. Preach the Bible, young men. Read Gill and any of the other ones that you want to. Take any letters that you want to, but preach the word. It won't ever get you wrong. Ever. Preach the word. Any part of it. Any part of it. Preach the word. Be instant or ready in season when they want to hear you, and out of season when they don't want to hear you. For the day is... What does he say there? For the time will come... And y'all have to forgive me because I've added to the word of God just a little bit. And now is when they will not endure sound doctrine. The majority of people today do not want sound doctrine, even though it is the Word of God. Do you believe that? But they'll heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and turn away their ears from the truth, and be turned to fables. Fables. Brother Terry, I believe the Bible to be the Word of God. Good. I believe Jesus to be the Son of God. Good. I believe that Baptist to be the true church. Good. And I am going to preach that doctrine right to the end. Good. But that ain't enough. 1 Corinthians 13. That's a good place to stop, isn't it? Now, I've had discussion with a higher authority about a word here. And brethren, I want you to raise your hand if this is going to offend you. I believe the word charity in the Bible to mean the word in English more commonly to us is love. Anybody got a problem with that? Raise your hand. Tell me. Seriously. When I say charity, I mean love. Anybody got a problem with that? Well, I know it's what it means, but some people, okay, look what Paul said to the church at Corinth. Though I speak with the tongues, languages of men and of angels, and have not charity, love, I become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand mysteries, no, all mysteries, and have God. So we'll apply it that way. And though I have all faith, so that I can remove mountains and have not love, I am nada. Nothing. Love one another. Love your enemies. Love the Word of God. Preach the Word of God in love. Not in education. Not because you got a degree from some seminary. Some of them pretty dead. And though I bestow my goods to feed the poor, and all my goods that is, and though I have give my body to be burned and have not love, it profit me nothing. Now, here I go with that word, just love. I won't use charity anymore. Love suffereth long. How long? Long. Just like they asked the little boy, well, how far is up? It's up. It don't stop. Love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Love's not arrogant, folks. Love doth not behave itself unseemly. Love is not rude. Love's not rude. I know you've been around some rude people. And some of them call themselves B-A-P-T-I-S-T. Love seeketh not her own. Well, as long as me and Brother Barry are on the same page, we're going to stay together. But as soon as he gets off, he's on my list. Love is not easily provoked. And sometimes you brush somebody and look like a puffer fish. Love thinketh no evil. Boy, see what I can dream up on Brother Asbury now. Love doesn't. Love rejoices not in lawlessness or iniquity. Well, see, I'm glad they're doing that now because that makes them look worse than me. Love rejoices in truth. Love beareth things. Doesn't say that, does it? Love beareth all things. Love will get you through some very trying times, as that young man just told us. My son had cancer when he was 13 months old. My house burnt just within a year. I looked for my son to die any time. Only son I've gotten. The Lord used that to bring me to the knowledge that I didn't need the things of the world anymore, but I needed him. By the way, my son now is 30 years old. Love beareth all things. Love believeth all things. You believe that? I'm talking about scriptural things. Do you believe that? Love hopeth all things. Love endureth all things. Love never faileth. It never even starts to fail. Real love. Brethren, there's so many more scriptures I could use. But I've got my time in, and I don't want to burden you because I know what time it is. It's tired time. But my prayer unto each one of you, from you that's back there wrestling them babies, to the ladies back there in that kitchen area getting this evening meal ready, my prayer is that God has spoke through me to you, and that God will grant unto you and I repentance. I ain't done nothing. I don't need to repent. You're in trouble already. Because repentance is of the Lord, folks. Husbands, love your wives. Didn't say understand. Love your wives. Wives, teach your daughters to love their own husbands. How? By you loving yours. I thought of something in Titus. Y'all forgive me. Let me go there real quick. The book of Titus. Second chapter. The Lord speaks to hearts. Let's go to the third chapter. Look at verse 9. But avoid brethren that have sinned. But avoid foolish questions. And boy, I've heard some spiritually discerned foolish questions. Well, if Jesus comes back at night, how shall we see him? I've heard that. Avoid foolish questions, avoid genealogies, avoid contentions, and avoid strivings about the law. Why? For they are unprofitable and void, empty, vain. Man that is a heretic after a first and second admonition, reject. Strike one. Strike two.